It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ. My name is Lee Stark.
And my name is Gary Stark.
And we'd like to welcome you to the Oh My God, We Haven't Died, Asteroid Didn't Kill Us special.
Yes, there was an asteroid that passed very, very close to the Earth in the last few days. It passed just 60,000 kilometres away.
I would like to say just a big thanks to our interplanetary listeners to for their betting contest for will the Earth survive this next catastrophe. Ha ha, you were wrong. Go on, try it again.
Okay, so what, they're going to send another asteroid?
I'm going to send another asteroid right past. It'll probably end up missing us, yeah.
Okay, well, that's good that it missed us, and we are here for another week. How have you been?
I have been okay. I've been recovering from no voice. I was a bit afraid on Monday that you would be just listening to my father over there over and over because my voice would just be this quiet bit of nothingness.
What was your voice going to be?
That's unfair!
That's wonderful, having control of the buttons here, people. I could just turn him off.
Wow.
Anyone would think I was his girlfriend.
Wow. No.
I'm sorry, Tash, I didn't mean that.
Okay. Coming up on the Gadget Grill tonight, we're talking about something that's completely unasteroided, unturningly off-related, voice over IP.
Yes, that's going to be very interesting to talk about. I had an interview during the week with somebody from Skype, and we'll play a little bit of that interview later on in the show. What I didn't tell you this week, as you know, I had to go down to Melbourne. We had a loss in the family, a bereavement in the family.
Terrible loss, too.
Had to fly down to Melbourne for the funeral. But on the way down on the plane and on the way back, I was assaulted.
Really?
I was assaulted on the plane. You get on the plane and they have the...
They beat you up with peanuts, Dad?
Not quite, no. They have the personal video screens in the back of the seat in front of you.
Oh, you had a personal video screen beat you up. That's
right. I had a personal video screen and I was assaulted by advertising all the way down on the way there. What I found out about... Well, not quite all the way down. What I found out halfway along was that if you turn the brightness all the way down, then the screen goes black. And that is a semi-pleasant way to enjoy the crap that they serve up as the constantly repeating advertising.
Is this your rant of the week?
That's my rant of the week. And then as you land at Melbourne and you're walking down to collect the baggage that you don't take on the plane, they charge you now to take your baggage on the plane. How dare they?
We haven't even played the first song and you're already ranting.
I know. Great. I know. As you walk down there, there's more TV screens with more advertising. There's enough of it already. Enough advertising.
Sorry,
I am sick of advertising.
Oh, God, I wish I cared. Can I care instead to say that we're also saying a big farewell to Circuit City as of today?
For those listeners in America.
For those listeners in America. We have a few.
We have a few in America. Yes, we are sorry to see Circuit City go.
No, we're not.
No, we're really not. Part of the Radio Shack group, no, we're not. Sorry to see any of them go.
And congratulations to customers for getting the best specials imaginable. But there'll be more news in a minute. Right now, of course, we have a song from Take Six.
And it is Straighten Up and Fly Right.
You should dum, 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 fly right. You should dum, 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 fly right. You should dum, 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 fly right.
It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, also available on www.radio2rdj.com. And on the Gadget Grill, you can find basically everything we've talked about tonight and, well, everything we're going to talk about tonight later on.
And everything that we've spoken about over the past few months.
Yeah, at www.gadgetgrill.com.au.
So if you don't have a life, go to thegadgetgrill.com.au.
And if you do have a life, go there anyway to tell us that you do have a life.
Yeah, we'd like to hear that.
Yeah, we'd like to know our listeners actually do have lives more than just sitting at the computer like robots pretending to wish they got hit by an asteroid.
The way we do.
Yeah. First up, we've got news.
Okay, I'll get to go first. And actually, I don't know why this is news. Windows Vista has been nominated as the world's worst technology fiasco. Is that a surprise?
No. I'm kind of surprised.
I'm kind of surprised
they never said Windows. No. Microsoft Bob, to be honest.
Yeah.
Guess Bob didn't get enough feedback.
No, that's what it is, yeah. The Fiasco Awards are an initiative of a group of people linked to the ICT sector, which wants to reward the best non-successful projects in the area.
Yeah, I'd say Vista probably classes as that.
Yeah, Vista is just such a wonderful product.
Is second place the Microsoft Zune?
On the subject of Microsoft Zune, I do have another Microsoft.
You're going through your news stories very quickly.
Oh, yes. Bill Gates has banned the iPod and the iPhone from his home.
Good for him.
Melinda, who wants to have an iPod and an iPhone, is not permitted to. Bill has put his foot down. And even their kids can't have iPods or iPhones. I think that's very childish.
Yeah, it is a bit childish, to be honest. I mean, how is he? It's not as if there's a really good Microsoft alternative.
Well, as you mentioned, there is the Zune, and I saw that while I was in America last year, which is why I bought an iPhone.
Well, I actually like the look of the new Zune operating system.
Oh, how it looks is absolutely wonderful.
Yeah,
how does it work?
Well, we don't know. No Australian knows because it's not officially out here. You have to import them, and that's really expensive. You get no Microsoft support over it.
Well, the interesting thing is that while I was traveling around in America, you see lots of people as you're getting on and off the planes. Everybody has an iPhone or an iPod.
You've said this before.
I have said it before, and I'll probably say it again. You've got some news too, I suppose.
I do. Apple released new products this week. I'm really unsure about their new product releases. The new, is it iMac?
They released a new MacBook Air, didn't they?
Did they?
No.
I didn't think so. Yeah, I didn't pay attention to that. They released, that's not really that funny.
Why are you laughing?
I'm not, you are. Released a MacBook Mini.
The new Mac Mini.
Yep. And throughout the midst of all this, their new 17-inch MacBook Pros are being plagued with the same graphic glitches that the old old MacBook Pros had, the NVIDIA GeForce dead or bad matter sort of thing. So not so brilliant for them. Olympus this week have come out with an interesting thing. They have declared, that probably after listening to our megapixel myth on our first show.
Yes, pay attention to the gadget grill, you will hear it first.
Yeah, Olympus declared 12 megapixels is enough. They're half right, they're half wrong, but at least it's nice to hear a camera group saying, hey, we're done, we're over this, you know.
How many other cameras in the PhD market have 12 megapixels, just out of curiosity?
I know there's a Sigma that has it. There is a Sigma in the PhD market that has it.
Okay.
And I know Samsung have a few in the works.
Right.
Okay. So, and we've also got those camera phones that have 12 megapixels coming out, like the LG and Samsung ones. So,
right.
You know, the declaration of 12 megapixels being enough, that's finally nice. We don't have to worry about having a 25 megapixel camera phone in 2 years' time.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. Kogan, did you see this one about Kogan this week?
I think I did, yes. Refresh my memory.
Yeah. Kogan, this Australian, he's sort of like an Australian packager of products. How do you put that?
He's a marketer. He imports high spec but low priced high Chinese product and sells it here at what everyone else should be selling the product for.
Yeah, yeah. So he's got this thing called the Kevin 37 HDTV that's going to be coming out, which is...
The Kevin 37.
Well, it's a 37-inch...
Is this the one with the shitstorm?
No. Wow, that was quick. No one else paying attention would have realized what that was unless they listened to the news. You were listening to the news a few minutes ago, weren't you?
I was actually watching the show when he said it, and I thought, big deal.
Yeah.
So that's why it's on the news.
Yeah, that's why it's on the news. The Kevin 37 HDTV from Kogan. It's a 1366 by 768 resolution 37-inch HDTV. So not really.
So it is a shitstorm.
No, yeah, not really HDTV. It's going to come out at a $900 price, so people who can spend their stimulus check.
Okay. So just sign all your checks over to Mr. Kogan.
Yeah,
sounds reasonable.
You got more news?
I have got more news. Twitter. 2009 is becoming the year of Twitter. Well, it was. But the Zuckerberg gang, these are the people who do Facebook, are fighting back. They're going to be upgrading Facebook in the next week or so.
That's right. There's a tour, actually,
with,
on the
real-time
Facebook
updates in place of the the every 10 to 15-minute refreshments.
I'm not so...
Refreshing as opposed to refreshments.
Yeah, I'm not really... Yeah, great.
I'll have a beer with my Facebook page.
I'll have a Facebook frian, yes. I can get my family and friends all over this thing. I can take a bite out of my dad. Ooh, ew.
A Facebook A Facebook margarita, thank you.
Yeah, right. A Facebook, what was it? A Facebook quiche. You know, blended all
real
together.
Real men don't eat Facebook.
Okay. Have you heard this week about the new compact flash card, this new ultra high spec speed one? I don't know who has a need for this, but this is obviously the way memory is headed. 666 speed compact flash card, a 64 gig is
I can
now
see where that is going to be useful, though. If that's in a compact flash card and you get your high-end digital cameras where you're shooting at 12 frames per second or faster, there's a lot of data that needs to be moved around, and the sooner you can offload that onto your compact flash card, then the sooner you can import more data from your sensor. So I can see that's going to have a use in cameras such as the D3 and the EOS 1DS Mark IIIs and stuff like that. And they've got upgrades to the firmware on the Mark IIIs.
Yeah, that's true. I thought of another. There's a really cool news item here from the UK. UK college begins testing facial recognition attendance system.
Okay, so smile at the camera as you come in and you'll be marked present.
Basically, yeah. You can sit in your chair, or as you walk through the door, you'll see if you're there. So you can't lie. You can't cheat. I've got one final news item.
You can lie if you get pulled in on a gurney.
That's true. And you can cheat if you manage to look at your friend's papers. Hopefully.
Wear your Bill Clinton mask.
Yeah, right. One more item. A group called Solstrom International, who created a few years ago, or I think it was last year or a few years ago, the UV-detecting bikini. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, because when you take it out in the sun, that's the first thing you do. Anyway, the UV detecting bikini. The people who made that have created something called water repellent nanomaterial. This material is called Sun Dry, and it's surrounded by.
So it's a tomato in disguise.
No, it's not a sun dried tomato. It's called Sun Dry. It's surrounded by, this is their quote, an invisible barrier that allows water to pass through it rather than being absorbed into it. So essentially, your
Hang on. How does a barrier let something through? Isn't the purpose of a barrier to stop something coming through?
I don't know. I don't know anymore. The web changes my perspective on what's real and what's not every single day. But the idea is that this swimwear is resistant to chlorine and rated to SPF 50, so you can take it into water, and providing you're wearing it over your breasts or your body, that won't get wet. Bit confused. Your head will, your arm will, your hands will, your breasts and body. What the hell is the point?
I'm just going to play some music.
Yeah, just play some music. This is Oblivia.
You've been working hard all morning and now it's time to relax for lunch. What better place than with your pals in the shed? And what better shed than the one right here on Tuesdays on 2RDJ between 1 and 3?
So please come and join Peter Worthington, that was him, and me, Gary Stark. We're your pals in the shed on 2RDJ FM 88.1.
And don't forget your lunch.
It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ in Sydney.
So it is.
It is. And we'd like to put a call out to Sydney bands that don't suck. If you don't suck, head to www.gadgetgrill.com.au, send us a message of where your band's music is, and we'll try and run you, you know, if you don't suck.
Yeah, and the primary criteria is that your music's got to be good. Original is great, but it's got to be musical.
Yeah.
You know, if you just stand there and just keep bashing your guitar with downstrokes and you don't know what an upstroke is and you don't know what anything about tempo and the mathematics of music, then maybe...
Maybe give it a miss. Or perhaps if you hit your head on the keyboard and pretend to create jazz or house or whatever it is and you call electronic, you know, I'm all for that sort of music, just not on my show.
Yeah. What about trance?
I don't really care about trance, to be honest.
I think it's well named.
Yeah, right. All right, and we've got a topic now that's also well named. Tonight we're talking about voice over IP, the voice over the internet protocol.
Yes, indeed. Now, the idea of voice over the internet is that, of course, you start off by connecting to the internet with a phone line. And that phone
really? Phone lines connect to the internet?
They do, indeed. That's how you connect your home computer to the internet.
Unless you're using wireless.
Unless, yeah, okay, let's skip that one for a moment. Yeah, so use a phone line to connect to the internet, and then you can use an ATA, which is a converter device that lets you convert your phone to an internet type signal, and you can then go to an internet VOIP, voice over internet protocol provider, and make phone calls using your internet connection as opposed to using your actual phone line. It sounds slightly convoluted, and yes, it is.
It is slightly convoluted, and yeah. Some of the sounds sometimes... God, I wish you wouldn't do that when my headphones are turned up so high.
I'm sorry. Should I turn the microphone off?
No, I think you should turn your microphone off sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes it actually can sound that convoluted. That's one of the downsides that voice over IP has. Clarity over the digital lines when you're talking about these home systems can be compromised slightly.
But it's generally quite good.
Well,
and it's also, for depends. The price, it is very inexpensive.
That's
true. You can be calling your friends in Los Angeles. You can ring up Mickey Mouse in Disneyland and you can be talking to him for as little as 1 cent a minute. That's provided, of course, Mickey will condescend to speak to you.
Yeah, you know, Mickey's one of those hard bastards.
Well, if you prefer, you can ring up Obama at the White House.
I can call up Stitch.
You could call,
I call up Stitch.
Yeah, you could ring up. You could ring up Obama at the White House, and you could talk to him for as little as 1 cent a minute. Voice over internet protocol is one way of getting very cheap phone calls. One of the really good things about it is that while you can use your hand, your ordinary handset to make your phone calls, you can also get clients that work off your computer.
Which is very important to note. You can also get them off of, remember the mobile phone, the Three mobile phone that was created?
That's right. Three have a mobile phone that actually lets you use your 3G connection to talk via Skype to other people. And you can also, with your iPhone, you can use a product called Fring, and that lets you connect via the internet to Skype. And we were talking when I was in Dallas using Skype. I was in Dallas, Lee was in Sydney, and we were talking over the internet using my iPhone, but using Skype rather than phone.
We should note that Skype's a very interesting one, because Skype's not just an instant messaging application. I mean, a lot of people use it for that. They use it so they can talk to their friends using audio and video. Skype is also enabled so that you can essentially fill it with credit if you wanted to.
You can fill it with credit. You can actually make phone calls to landlines anywhere in the world, and you can also use it, if you remember the old TV show, The Jetsons, where they had the video phones. The standard Skype client that goes onto your computer includes video capabilities. If you have a webcam on your computer, you can be talking and using a video phone.
What did that have to do with The Jetsons?
Well, The Jetsons used to have a video phone.
Wow.
In those days, you know, sort of that was considered as futuristic, and today we actually have that.
So where's my flying car? I want my flying car.
It crashed.
Oh. It was, ran Windows, didn't it? Ran Vista.
There's a thing on the internet at the moment of somebody who crashes a car through Windows into a Mac shop.
I saw that, yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, go on.
Oh, yeah. On Friday, I happened to have a chat with a guy called Dan Neary. He is the Asia Pacific manager of Skype. And I thought that you might like to listen to a little bit of what Dan had to say.
I would.
In terms of what Skype does is we think of ourselves as a communication software company. And so our vision is all around how do we enable conversations that people want to have. And we do that via voice. We do it via chat. We do it via video. In terms of how the actual technology works, in simple terms, it's a software application that you download, and it allows communication from one computer to another. And again, in those variety of forms that I just talked about, you know, voice, video, chat. But what it also does is it allows users that have downloaded the software, if you want to call somebody on a landline, or if you want to call out to somebody on a cell phone, you have the ability to connect with a PSTN line, so a more traditional hard line, where we transfer our services to telcos that cooperate with us, and we send the call through them, and it goes out to wherever somebody else might be. And so that's in very simple terms how it works. What we believe in is we believe where the world is going is to what we would call liquid communication. And in very simple terms, you could be in a business setting where you're in a conference room doing a meeting and you're communicating with others, and that might be a combination of video and audio. potentially you want to take that same conversation back to your back to your cube or your office. You then want to take that conversation to your handset. You walk it down to your car. You want to continue to have that communication in your car. You then take that into your home, and you want to be able to wave it by your TV and have the communication take place there. And at some point, you wander into the kitchen, and you want to call your mother-in-law for the latest recipe. And we believe that the communication will take place in those type of scenarios as well. And so the key tie to all of that is, you know, this liquid communication. And we believe that it's software companies like Skype and software like Skype that actually pulls all of those different communication points together.
Now, that's very interesting that you say that, Dan, because in what you're saying there, I'm hearing you tell me that you're talking about seamless transition between, say, 3G networks and 802.11bg, whatever happens to be sitting up on, say, a wireless network through your cell phone client. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and I think I would put it in even more simplistic terms of we look at it built upon the way that people communicate and what the consumer eventually wants to do. And we know that there's the desire for people that want to communicate in lots of different fashions. So, you know, sometimes I would argue I just want to send somebody a chat, especially if I'm late and I'm sending a chat to my wife. I don't want to engage on a phone call. Or sometimes, you know, I want to see my wife when I'm staying in another part of the world and I'm traveling, so I want to see video. And then there's instances where I want to do just an actual call. I don't need the video. I just got up in the morning and I'm not looking so good. So I would say consumers want to have the various ways of communicating, and they also want to take that with them in a variety of different settings. And that's one of the things that we aspire to do as a communication software.
Dan Neary from Skype there, talking to us about the technology and where they see it going. It's interesting, some of the stuff in there, because you can hear him almost suggest that Skype is that technologies like Skype are really on their way to replacing the liquid phone line technologies that we use as
the PSTNs.
Yeah, the PSTNs, the standard phone line technology we've been using for the past 20, 30 years
in our homes. 50, 60 years now we've been using PSTN.
It seems almost unbelievable to note that the technologies that we're currently using parallel to our phone lines are now going to just kind of replace them entirely.
Well, of course, yeah. And, of course, you can use your Skype over a wireless phone, a wireless internet connection. And you can see perhaps the day where, in a lot of cases, the need for a wired phone connection is going to go away. A lot of people now, they move into apartments, they just have their cell phone and that is their only phone. And I can see things changing. The other thing, of course, that I thought was rather interesting is he's talking about the seamless integration with Skype in moving from through various environments, which we've seen with T-Mobile doing in the United States. They've got appliances that will allow you to do that now, and he's talking about the same thing with Skype as well. I think that's very, very interesting technology.
And, of course, in case anyone was curious, the actual quality of that phone call was exceptional. It was recorded on Skype. It was actually done and recorded on Skype.
That is correct. The whole of that phone call that I had, and it was about a 20-minute phone call. We got some other stuff that I spoke with him about that we'll use over the next few weeks as well, because on some different products that Skype have that are very interesting technologically speaking. So we'll bring them forward for you in the next few weeks.
I'd like to point out that I've been using the Skype call service a lot. I've been putting money into it. So there you go, Skype, you've got my money. I've been putting money into the Skype service and been making phone calls instead of our home line, just because the quality is just that far ahead. It's just really remarkable to note that in some cases Skype technology is just sounds a lot better through my ears as well.
Yeah. One thing which I didn't play in part of that recording was that as part of the startup of that, just in chatting to Dan before we actually started the interview proper, I mentioned to him that I've been using Skype for about 5 or 6 years, and he was actually quite impressed with that because in terms of an actual viable product, they've been running for about 5 years now. So he made the comment that I'm right up there in the bleeding edge.
Well, we are technology journalists. We're technologists. I mean, it does make sense that we're doing this stuff ahead of time.
Indeed. That would be you and I.
That would be you and I.
Ingrid Michaelson.
Mickelson.
Mickelson.
Don't you worry there, my honey. We might not have any money, but we've got our love to pay the bills.
Eighty-eight point one Radio 2RDJ. This is the Gadget Grill, and I am Lee Stark. And over there, sitting there, trying to pull a bunch of buttons and throw an asteroid back at me, is my father, Gary Stark. Take your asteroid back.
Pulling buttons? I push buttons. I don't pull.
No, I think you pull them out of their sockets just to.
No, that's eyes.
Ew.
Eyes of little children. How much fuzzy little girl?
Wow! Wow! Yeah, just. Movie cliche it up. Movie cliche it up. Yeah.
Okay.
Right now we're going to look at
The subject of movies and pictures.
Yeah. We're going to look at a useless gadget because we haven't done one in a couple of weeks. We enjoy our useless gadgets here at the Gadget Group.
Oh, we love useless gadgets. We love stupid people and useless gadgets.
Why is it always me the one who's spending money on useless gadgets?
I think you've just summed that up in one statement.
Probably. On the way out from an Office Works today, I saw a useless gadget that had to be snapped up. It's actually from a company that normally make good gear, so it might not be so useless. This is the KaiserBass digital photo frame. Now, this is one of these little 1.5-inch or 1-inch cube, 1-inch square.
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 A cube, no, cube is like a Rubik's
cube. Cube's 3D, yeah. A 1-inch square digital photo frame, the things you attach to your keyring, you plug it into a USB port, and you move images directly across.
And plugging it into a USB port, you would think it would be a universal connection and it would work with any computer, right?
Well, technically it does work with any computer, provided you run Windows.
So any computer that runs Windows, any particular version of Windows?
XP and Vista, everyone's favourite lamentable Vista, yes.
So it doesn't work with Windows 2000, it doesn't work with 98, it doesn't work with ME, but nothing else did either, so who cares?
It doesn't work with 2000 or 98. That makes sense. No, nothing like ME, because ME was a version of 98. It would probably work with Windows 7 just because everything does.
Yeah.
And Windows 7 is good. Go Microsoft! But it doesn't work with Mac OS at all. I did try. The problem is with it, the reason why it only works those things, is that it's not like a hard drive. You can't just plug it in and drag stuff across. It only supports JPEG and bitmaps. And the software that you have to use with it, it has its own inbuilt software, which means it does require.
Yeah, so it has a proprietary interface that that only talks to itself.
Yeah, basically.
Stupid design.
Well, no, I mean, okay, yes. Yes and no. You get this really. Okay.
Sorry, let me rephrase that. Stupid absence of design.
You're from this generation, so you can tell me what this actually replaces, because as far as I see, this is useless USB key rings with a screen.
Okay, for those of us who were around in the 80s, you used to go out to a night out.
You were around in the 80s?
Oh, yes. Those of us who were around in the 80s, well, before you were born even, late 70s, early 80s, you'd go for a night out at your local theatre restaurant where they would put on a show and you would get served a meal. Now, one of the things about a theatre restaurant is that typically the choices are that you could get a good meal or you could get a good show or you could get a good meal and a good show or none of the above. Typically, it was none of the above. However, they would have photographers going around, wandering around, and they would take your photo. And then by the end of the night, they'd come around with a little key ring with a little clear plastic thing on it, and it would have your photo, with a photo of you and your beloved, in this little plastic thing in the key ring, and they would sell it to you for a ridiculously expensive price for what it was.
Out of curiosity, was this a Polaroid?
It may have been a Polaroid, because you'd just use a Polaroid and you just use a die cut and throw it in there, but not always. Some of them were not Polaroids, but yes, it would be a typical use for a Polaroid. But now what you have is this sort of device, and instead of having just one photo, you can have, I saw you have over 20 on yours.
I put 28 on mine this afternoon. From what I can tell, this is not a good screen. Like, I mean, this was $16, but at $16, I at least hope to get a decent-ish screen, you know.
Decent resolution and decent viewability, and that was one thing that I noticed. The display lacks contrast.
It lacks contrast. It can be controlled, but the menu system is really bad. Like, we're talking for contrast control, you get a number on a screen, a black number on a white screen. Not very easy to determine contrast when you're looking at a black number on a white screen. In fact, it's damn near impossible to do that. The what I find interesting is that the color is just it's really bad. From what I can tell, it's like it looks like it's more than 256 colors, but the lack of contrast or brightness control really damages that.
I'd
prefer to put pictures in my wallet, I think.
Okay, so would you buy one of these for your grandmother?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. I mean, like
either of them.
Maybe. I mean, I think partially the problem is that it's really cool and it's cute.
Would you buy one for your mother?
No, I wouldn't. I'd buy an iPhone for my mum if I had the money. No, seriously, it's a cool idea, and it's $16. It's not a bad little present. They come in little yellow and black and red frames. I got a yellow frame one, and you can.
And it matches your skin perfectly.
Yeah, it does. You can move things over in JPEG. You have to crop things while you're moving them across. Like when you start moving across, little cutout square appears on your pictures.
That's because it's a square.
That's
frame
because it's a square
there.
Frame. Yep. The downside of all of this is that not only is the software bad, it's horrendous. Like it took me 5 minutes really to work out what the hell I was doing with it. It's just not good software.
Why would you class it as a useless device?
I would probably class it as a useless device because most people have phones and the phones can do the exact same things as this.
Fair enough.
You know, if you've got a phone like an iPhone, if you've got an iPod, because iPods support pictures too,
okay.
or sort of MP3 player.
Yeah, I know that my old Nokia does it, and yeah. Even the Sony's like and everything.
They've been supporting this technology for ages. I mean, if you've got a Palm Pilot in color, this supports this technology. It's not as if this is great. Actually, in thinking about this, it's really good for a grandmother. So, yeah, this is the...
A grandmother who doesn't have a cell phone.
Quite a lot don't. This is the Kaiser Bass digital photo frame. We saw it at Officeworks. But you could probably find it in loads of places. You know, it's useless, but you know, you might have something for a friend.
You might have a use for something useless.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a song.
Tall as Lions.
As Tall as Lions. This is Blackout, I think. This is the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ. My name is Lee Stark, and over there pushing more buttons, not pulling buttons anymore, is Gary Stark.
I'm pulling fingernails.
Ew.
I'm pulling wings off flies. What do you call a fly with no wings?
Is this going to be a bad joke?
Oh, it's a very bad joke.
Then just do it quickly.
That's a walk.
Put me out of my misery quickly. We've got a few minutes left over, so we're going to talk about some stuff. We're going to say that the us giving away the competition, the Microsoft thing.
The Microsoft competition. I could actually if I'm really, really quick and if I really do this like this.
Do it.
Come on,
do
on,
it.
Come on,
go
come
it.
On.
Hit play.
There we
Hit
go.
Play.
There we go. There we go.
That didn't work.
No. There we go.
Have you got your competition?
We can talk while this
yet?
Is going on, if
Remember,
you like.
2RDJ is giving you the opportunity
didn't
to win
play
a copy
this earlier?
Of Microsoft
yes, we did.
Office 2008 for Mac, valued at over $800.
That's right, we're giving
it's
it away.
It's not hard to win either.
No.
All you've got to do is create a slogan for your favourite 2RDJ program.
Like the
and
Gadget Grill,
it
the shed.
At
yeah.
www.radio2rdj.com.
That's a good website.
Alternatively, fax your slogan to 9744-1088
or
mail
What's
it to P.O. Box 1088, Billard North, New
it.
South
don't,
Wales,
don't
21134.
It's too late.
No, seriously, 2 hours
don't
to go.
Don't forget to tell us the program your slogan is for and include
the
your name and contact
no,
details.
The Gadget Grill.
The winning entry will be used on air and score the copy of Office 2008 for Mac.
You win! Well, sort
entries
of.
Entries close at midnight on March the 8th, so get cracking now and go to www.radio2rdj.com.
That's www. Dot.
Is it?
Yes.
Well, did she say W twice?
She said www. Dot.
Oh, then you don't go there. You won't. You won't
go. No,
anywhere.
You won't find
no,
anything.
You won't
there.
Find anything there. You need to no. go to. Quick, add a shortcut now.
Okay.
Go to www.
Should I re-record the promo?
Can we blame the person if no one actually visits?
No,
the
no.
Website?
Actually, I think we'll blame June for that one because June's the one who writes the scripts for those.
I see.
It's all
I
June's
see.
Fault.
So if you need to go to www.radio2rdj.com.au. Oh no, not au. .com to. to put an entry in, I'm lost.
I think I've got Lee for sale at the moment.
Yeah. How much time do we have left?
Oh, we've got plenty of time.
Got plenty of time. Shall we talk about what Twitter is? Because I've got no idea and I'm using it.
Okay, Twitter. Twitter is what's called a mini blog.
I thought it was a micro blog.
Micro blog.
Yeah.
You can if you sign on to Twitter. That's twitter.com. twitter.com.
www.
No. Actually, it doesn't have the www.
It doesn't have it. I noticed that.
Yeah. Go to twitter.com. Log in. Create yourself an ID there. And in whatever you can say in 140 characters, you can broadcast to the world and people can follow you and get updated on what you're doing. You can follow the Gadget Grill.
Yeah, the Gadget Grill
you
has
can
a
follow
Twitter.
Lee, you can follow myself. We are all Twittering around.
You can
around.
Follow
we are,
John Mayer. You know, if you really want to, you can follow. Apparently, yes. He's really cool.
Oh, you know, sort of. It's sort of a mini version of Facebook and so on, but it's actually a lot safer than Facebook. One of the interesting things that I saw this week that I didn't mention earlier was that if you're applying for a government job or for a job that requires security clearance in the UK, you have to justify whom you have as friends on your Facebook and MySpace accounts.
That could
be problematic.
That seems really invasive of the government.
Well, yes, but that's how it is.
What if you happen to have yada yada from Nigeria who you like trading with?
Well, the thing is that what Facebook and MySpace call friends are not really friends, and that's where the problem is. It's the terminology, and people think that because they're called friends, they are.
Speaking of people who are my friends, next week I won't be speaking to anyone who's my friends. I've decided to put them all. No, it's a lie. I'm not. In fact, next week.
Well, that's because you don't have any friends.
I have friends. Thank you very much. Okay. I have Facebook friends. Next week we're talking about sound to text.
Okay. We better go.
I'll see you next week on the Gadget Grill. I'm Lee Stark.
I'm Gary Stark.
And this is. What's her name again? I always forget.
Nikki Yankowski.
Yeah, this is an Elvis Gerald song.
ML special.
See ya.